every head bowed.
And his blood has.
God, thank you.
Make me whole.
For your healing power. Thank you for the prayer that's gone forth. God, I come now as humble as I know how, asking you to stand with me on today. Word my mouth, give me what to say. Give your people an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, one more time. How many of y'all know Jesus a healer? Oh, it is Jesus.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is Jesus.
It's Jesus in my soul.
In my soul.
For I have turned.
For I have turned.
Him of his garment.
And his blood.
And his blood has made me whole.
Come on, give God some praise. Come on, give God some praise. Woo! You may have your seats. Woo! Y'all, let me tell you why I'm excited. The prayer has been prayed. And I remember reading in scripture when the centurion came to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Say, Lord, you need to come over here and heal my son or daughter. No, all you got to do is send your word. Somebody say, Lord, send your word.
Send your word.
Send your word and heal. Send your word and deliver. Send your word, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we can celebrate 35 years, we ought to celebrate healing. We ought to celebrate miracles. We ought to celebrate signs and wonders. Bless you. God bless you. You may have your seats. It's all right to praise them. God bless you. God bless you. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I thank God for what we feel right now. Said to Sanders, I don't know your husband's first name, but we are praying for him that God will continue to touch his body. Some of them named I don't know, but God knows every situation. Sometimes it's hard to, my wife, we ministered Sister Force the other day, and she really going through, and my wife reminded her of a situation. There's somebody Erica know on the job years ago, the doctor that put him in hospice, and they came out and lived. Y'all, anybody heard of that before? I heard of it.
Yes, sir.
People go in the hospice, they think it's over, and they come out.
That's what they think.
Doctors say he had cancer in every part of his body, but he lived beyond what the doctor said. Y'all, the doctor can tell you something, make you want to throw in the towel, but God, my God.
Got the final say. Come on.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask a question. I'm not trying to get you excited. But if he can go to the grave after 3 days and raise a dead man, what make you think he can't raise a sick man? The dead man is no longer on life support.
He can't hear.
He's no longer in intensive care.
He can't even hear.
The funeral is already over. The people of the grave site had already entered the body, into the ground. But Jesus comes and says, Lazarus. Ah, glory to God. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And I can see him now. Let's take it off. I'm sorry, y'all sit down. But my God is a miracle worker. God bless you. In the book of Romans, I feel pretty good. I don't have much to say today, but I feel good. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Y'all, we need to pray, because sometimes people just get tired of being in that situation. Not that they lose faith in God, but sometimes they're just tired of being in that situation. And I've heard this before, I don't know who I heard it from, but they say sometimes we're the ones that are selfish. We're the ones that don't want them to leave. Sometimes they be ready to go, but we be wanting to hold on to them. They could be 109 years old, but we still want to hold on to them. Sometimes we got to understand that God is just, his will is going to be done. But we know, even if he don't, that's what the Hebrew boy said, even if he don't, we know he's able. Romans 8, just for a few moments. Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're willingly going this way. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. Nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Very familiar scripture. I want to talk from the subject, persuaded and committed. Persuaded.
Persuaded.
And committed. For those of you that don't know it, there are people that were once in the will of God that's no longer even in the church. Mm-hmm. Some of them may have prayed over you and helped you through, but somewhere down the line, they walked away from God. In the book of Hebrews 6:19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So sure and steadfast is equivalent to persuaded and committed.
All right.
I want y'all to understand that. Sure and steadfast is equivalent to persuaded and committed. Sure means I have a firm hold. Steadfast means it's going to be continuous like this.
All right.
Sure and steadfast. Continuous. Steadfast. Right. Persuaded says I've already been through enough to be persuaded.
Uh-huh.
But to be committed means I'm going to continue to be persuaded.
All right.
That's why it bothered me when some of you have gone through some things, and I'm talking some people in Facebook, whoever, and act like you forgot about what God did. Jesus, and here you are acting a fool, and God healed your body, spared your life when the doctors can do nothing, and here you are going back doing what God delivered you from. You were persuaded, but evidently you wasn't really committed.
All right.
Persuasion comes after experience.
Uh-huh.
I've been through some things, so now I'm persuaded. I've experienced some things that God has done. He's been gracious, he's been merciful, he's been long-suffering, so I am persuaded. After all the things that I've been through, God has proven to me that he really loves me. God had proven to me that he really cares for me. Persuaded. I have no more doubt. There's no reservation.
Come on, preacher.
I know him to be a healer. I don't care what you say. I know him to be a healer. I don't care what you say. I know he's a deliverer. I don't care what my children are doing. I know he can save my children. I am persuaded. No doubt in my mind, there's no reservation. If you don't agree with me, it don't make no difference. I'm persuaded. If you talk just the opposite of what I say, you need to get out of my life because I am already persuaded. There's nothing you can do to change my mind because I am persuaded. Not because of what you said or what you did, but what the Lord had already done, I'm persuaded. And if you don't agree with me, get out of my life. I don't need no Henry. I don't need nobody. I'm claiming my healing. Well, you know, how old are you? 67? Well, you know, that's when my daddy died, at 67. I don't need to hear that. I'm persuaded that God is a healer. I'm persuaded that I got more yield in my life. I'm persuaded that I'm not leaving here until it's my time. I don't care who died. I don't care what happened. I am persuaded. Well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying that based on what already happened, yeah? But I also read in this same chapter, y'all go help me preach.
Preach, sir.
Romans 8:28, that all things work together.
Uh-huh.
for them that love God, to them that are called,
yes, sir,
according to his purpose. Now, let me explain something to you.
Talk, Bishop.
Purpose means God has a deliberate plan. Get that in your head. God has a deliberate plan. I purpose for you to be a bishop, meaning there are some things you have to go through,
yes,
in
sir,
order to fulfill your purpose. And I can't allow all of it to be good, but all of it is working for your good. Because you love me and you are called according to my purpose. So even when it's negative, it's working for your good because you're going toward God's design plan.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all praying with me today?
Preach, Bishop.
I asked Deacon Robledo the other day, how your son doing in Mohawk? He said, he's doing fine. I said, what is his major? He said, well, he got to do a major at Morehouse and then Georgia Tech, electrical engineering. And meaning that the courses he's taking,
uh-huh,
might be completely different than the course that your son is taking, because the purpose is not the same.
That's right.
Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? Dr. Aldred, thank God for what she did. We call her Dr. Aldred, but she had to go through classes after classes after classes to be a medical doctor. You can't go 2 years and go to Walmart and pick up license and say, I'm Dr. so-and-so. No, you got to go through some classes. And all the time is not easy, but I understand what our purpose to be. Can I talk about Dr. Aldrin for just a moment? When they joined the church, when she's about 3 or 4 years old, she told us as a child that she purposed to be a doctor one day. So it didn't matter what the classes were, how tough they were. If I'm going to be what I purpose to be, I got to deal with the good and the bad and keep loving God. Because if I deal with the good and the bad and keep loving God, one day I'm going to have on my white jacket. Because I made my purpose. Purpose don't mean it's going to be easy. But purpose means if you hold out, God is going to do just what he said.
Come on, Bishop.
Y'all going to make me sweat. I wasn't planning no sweating this morning.
Talk, sir.
But purpose, y'all listen to this.
Purpose
is a deliberate plan.
All right.
Why am I going through so much? It's on purpose. Why they lying on me? It's on purpose. Why they don't like me? It's on purpose. Think if when you're a child of God, you got to understand that God knows you better than you know yourself.
Yes, sir.
So there's something you're not going to volunteer for no suffering. You're not going to volunteer for cancer. You're not going to volunteer to be sick. But God knows what you're able to bear. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And there's something, I like what David said. David said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn his statutes. In other words, if I didn't have to go through what I went through, I wouldn't be the man of God that I am right now. I wouldn't have this anointing. I wouldn't be strong in faith if I didn't have to trust God when I can trace him. See, sometimes when you can't trace him, you give up. But you got to trust him even when you can't trace him. You got to trust him when you don't know what he's up to, but you know that he won't put no more on you than you can bear. Well, but the enemy trying to kill me. Oh, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will lift up a standard against your enemy. Saints of God, you have no reason.
No reason
to go back on God.
Right. Preach, Bishop.
My message getting a little bit longer. I think I've added about 5 minutes already.
All right, preach, Bishop.
But I want you to understand something. It's one thing to stand up and testify. I want to thank God for what I've been through. I love the Lord. And y'all keep praying my strength in the Lord. And everybody said, well, that's wonderful. But when you can stand up and say, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, principality, nothing that can happen now, nothing that can happen in the future is going to make me walk away from my God. Not only am I persuaded, but I'm committed. You know why? Because I found out I'm more than a conqueror. I want y'all to hear that. I looked up that word conqueror. It says a conqueror is a person who is super victorious. They don't just win narrowly. They win and the enemy is completely annihilated and defeated. And it's not an ordinary victory, but it's a victory that is overpowering and achieving abundant victory. So you don't barely win. You don't go 15 rounds with the devil. You knock him out in the first round. You don't go, well, it's a tie. No, it ain't no tie. I beat him. Look at him. You can see I beat him good. Yeah, he got some licks in. I'm hurting a little bit. But you can see that I beat him real good. You know why? Because I am more than a conqueror. Yeah, he got some licks in, but I beat him down. He didn't change my testimony. In other words, before I take it back, I'm going to add more to it. God been good to me. And devil, you can't do nothing with me that God don't allow, because greater is he that's within me that's in the world. For I can testify, not only am I persuaded, but I'm committed. Amen. Y'all have your seats.
Preach, Bishop.
Couple of things coming back up to me that I thought about yesterday. First of all, no one has season tickets to heaven. Nobody had reserved seats to heaven. Stronger I am right now. If I let my guard down, the devil can trick me.
Oh, he'll come in. That's right.
Don't you sit up in here. Well, you know, I'm missionary and so and so, and I've been doing it for 30 years. Satan don't care. Well, you know, my mama was the chair lady. She should have got out the chair. My daddy was the bishop and all that kind of. It don't matter. Satan is after you. If you say you love the Lord and he's not bothering you, you need to get saved.
Right.
Woo! Right. It's just that simple. If I love the Lord, but he ain't bothering you, everything you touch is turned to gold, and you got the same friend, you go to the same club, you don't do what you used to do, but you just sit there while they smoking and drinking, you just want to be in their presence. Something is wrong with you. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? I have learned as a bishop that everybody can't keep company with me. I have learned that every day of my life, I have to sanctify myself to keep me from getting into different situations. I thought about this the other night after Bible study. We're talking about stronghold. Stronghold can be really anything that holds you strong. But one of the biggest strongholds is when the devil can make you feel like it don't take all that.
Lord have mercy.
Bible study. Son, I done read the Bible twice. Three times. What I need Sunday school for? You're being tricked by the devil. You're being tricked. Let me tell y'all something. I'm getting ready to close
talk,
in
Bishop,
just a minute.
Talk.
But I'm the pastor. But I have no guaranteed seat in heaven. I got to keep doing
That's right.
I am doing. Well, preacher, that don't make sense. Well, yeah, let me tell you something. There's a bishop I know him personally. Church of God in Christ, Bishop, let his guards down. The lady he was fooling with, he shouldn't have been fooling with in the first place, she introduced him to cocaine. He got up. Y'all read the book. I'm not telling you something people don't know. He put a book out. Put a book out. He was strung out on cocaine.
Jesus.
They took his jurisdiction. They took his church. His wife left him, and thank God the Bishop G.E. Patterson ministered to him and brought him back into the fold. And now he can talk about it. What happened? He said, when I was preaching, people were telling me how good I was, and instead of me giving God the glory, I was like, okay, praise the Lord, okay. I don't care how good you do what you do. You better give God the glory.
All right.
I don't care how good you sing and ooh, now people crying and falling all out. You better give God
right.
the glory. When people
right.
tell me, Pastor, you sure did preach. Praise the Lord. Give God the glory. I thank God that he's using me, but I will never try to take God's glory. God don't have to use me. He can use anybody he wants to. And I'm going to get up here and act like, you know what? Can't nobody do it like me. So what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We're in a situation now. I heard something the other day. God knows I can't repeat it because it's too embarrassing. But there are some people that would do anything for a position. There are some people that will sell their soul for a position. There are some people that will pay to be a bishop and let the house don't get behind because they want to be a bishop so bad. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. The most important thing in life is to hear Jesus say, well done.
Come on.
The most important, I don't care if your name or not in life, don't nobody know who you are. But if God got your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, that's more important than you being on anybody's church roll. That there's a commercial out now. This man said, y'all don't know me because I'm not really popular, but I got a razor that came up. Some of y'all heard some new razor. And he said, but try it out. I don't have to be popular. I want God to know me. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I want God to know me. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get with Bishop Patterson. I don't need to see him. I saw him all the time down here. I want to see Jesus. But don't you want to see Bishop Mason? If he's around, I'll shake his hand or whatever. But I want to see Jesus. He's the one that paid the price for me. He's the one that forgave me for my sin. He's the one that covered me when I was not in the will of God. When I see Jesus, amen. Y'all going to make me preach up in here. I got a few scriptures before I leave. But those of you that feel like you can cruise, we found out, Elder McNair found out, and all of us pretty much have found out you can't even cruise on 285.
So okay.
So what make you think you're going to cruise to heaven? Anybody ever get in traffic, it don't matter what time of day it is. It could be 12 noon. It could be 4 o'clock. Seems like traffic get bad. I-20, everywhere you go. Hard to put it on cruise control when it's stop and go. You can't cruise on the road. So what make you think you can cruise on your way to heaven? Well, you know, I've been saved 25 years. I've been in a way. You've been in somebody's way 25 years. I can't stand the person that don't understand to say what you used to be and how you are now and don't realize it's a regression. I remember when I first got saved, I was on fire for the Lord. Well, why you're not on fire now?
Yes, sir.
Well,
that's just like testify. You know, I remember when I was making $50,000 a year. Now I'm making $25,000. Woo, glory to God. Nobody wants to go backwards. I had a message I was going to preach today, but God didn't develop it in my spirit. But the message was, Lord, restore the passion. All right. We got a whole lot of people going through the motion. Woo! But the passion is gone. They know how to church. They know how to sing. They know how to preach. But I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. Do you still have the passion now than you had when you first got saved? Are your convictions the same now? Or do you tolerate stuff now that you wouldn't tolerate when you first got saved? Right. Well, you know, the Bible say we grow. No, you didn't grow. You backslid.
Lord, I'm sorry.
Matthew 24, I'm almost. But Pastor, you're talking about persuaded and committed. Why is that so important? Listen, Matthew 24 and 13, Jesus described the thing that's going to happen, but then he said, but he that shall endure until the end,
Want to hold out.
The same shall be saved.
Yeah.
There's no consolation prize. I ran track. Yeah, I came in second place a couple of times. Got a little medal. That was wonderful. But if you come in second place going to heaven, you're on your way to hell. Ain't but two spots. Anybody ever thought about that? That young man, that's my daddy. Uncle Doug, isn't there a middle ground But people like me, I don't cuss, I don't gamble, I don't drink, ain't that a middle ground? Am I crazy? The dad said, boy, you are right. It is. Right in the middle of hell. Y'all, thank God for your moral. You're morally good. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't curse, you don't
yes.
do. But the Bible says you must be born again. Why, preacher? Because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But nobody in my family to smoke. You need to be born again.
That's right. Plain and simple.
I got to close. Galatians 5 and 7.
Plain and simple.
You did run well. You were persuaded at one time. But who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You ran well while you were persuaded. But evidently you weren't committed because now somebody has hindered you. I preached a message not too long ago. I refuse to be hindered. That's why I'm concerned about some of the church folks. You're hanging with people that don't want to grow. You want to grow spiritually and they don't. You want to come to Friday night and they don't. You want to study the word and they'd rather watch Oprah. Y'all not on the same level. Can I say something? It's hard to grow when you're dealing with somebody that don't know as much as you do.
Not on the same path.
You in the fifth grade, and they in the third grade, and they trying to teach you, and you're supposed to have more knowledge than they do. You're a missionary, you're a preacher, and they have no respect for you. Y'all, can I say this?
Talk, Bishop.
I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But something come your way because they don't respect who you say you are. Can I get a witness?
Yes,
if they respected you as that missionary or that preacher or that deacon, there's something they're not going to say to you because they have so much respect for your spirit.
Right.
Now, I don't know where it came from, but that's the truth.
Right.
One of the things that I can't stand to be disrespected.
No, sir.
I cannot stand. I was in church one day and out of ignorance, somebody say, I can tell he's a pagan. Look at his nose. You ain't supposed to say that in church. Here I am sitting up in church. You can tell he's a pagan. Look at his nose. That's absolutely stupid. And everybody looking at me, and I'm like,
Lord have mercy.
I'm sorry. Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you shall not obey the truth? You ran well while you were persuaded, but evidently you weren't committed because you let somebody hinder you. Thank God for all of you that are here, but we got to continue doing what we're doing.
All right.
We can't give up and throw in the towel. Well, I'm 70 now. I don't have to do nothing. You still got to live holy. You still got to love everybody. 1 Timothy 4 and 3, and I'm almost finished. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, very clearly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. What did that mean? It means at one time, they were persuaded. Y'all read it. Depart from the faith.
They had some. Uh-huh.
What faith? The gospel.
Yes.
That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. They had accepted that. They were persuaded.
By Jesus.
But now they're giving heed to seducing spirits.
Don't take all that.
Uh-huh. Why is it that I don't let Jehovah Witness in my house? I don't want to hear nothing they have to say. Now, some of y'all just accommodating. You want some coffee? No, not in my house. Is the air too cold or do I need to cook? No, you're not even coming to my house. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But some people got messed up because they entertain some, and they know what they're talking about, and sometimes they can mess you up. I was at Church's Fried Chicken probably about 20 years ago, maybe more than that. And this Jehovah's Witness tried to witness to me. And I said, I don't understand. You all don't even believe in speaking in tongues? Yes, we do. I said, y'all believe in speaking in tongues? Yeah, we speak in the language that we already know. Now, I want y'all to understand that's English. They speak English, and they speak in tongue in English. So how do you speak in tongue in a language that you know? Woo! Glory to God. Give it a God. Da, 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 da. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. But they speak in tongue in English.
He's stupid.
Oh, cha-cha. Be the heel. Be the heel. Be the heel. I don't know how to do it. Y'all, are y'all praying with me? So that was the end of the conversation. You speak in tongue in English. And your native, absolutely crazy. Some depart from the faith because they allow other things to enter in. And it confuses them. The one that has the Holy Ghost,
make
they
it
say,
plain.
And ended up being a Muslim. Something is wrong with that picture. So when they came to visit the church, I didn't say nothing because it was a done deal. You denied the Holy Ghost and you say you had it. According to the scripture that I read, that's nothing I can do. Is that the right understanding?
Is that
the right understanding? Y'all got to be careful. Keep your mouth shut if you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Keep that. Don't say nothing. My wife said the other day, we're on Bible study, and I talked about how I said something. She pleaded the fifth. Y'all remember that? Because she wasn't going to say nothing good, so she said, I might as well just plead the fifth, because I am not saying nothing good about what he just said. And she do it all the time.
That's wisdom.
I got a text this morning, and I can't tell you what it was. But that woman over there is something else. Y'all hear me? I'm going to finish this message. But y'all be surprised the pressure I be under coming from over there. The duress I be under.
Bless him, Lord.
Can I expose this? Monica, I told her, she asked me, when was that monitor going to be fixed and that plexiglass going by the drum? And I texted her back. Hopefully, both of them by Sunday. She texted me back, hopefully nothing, make it happen. And I'm supposed to get up here and preach under that kind of pressure. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm going to talk about you. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. Yeah, y'all want her to pastor. She had about two members, Monica and Erica. Because Micah wouldn't even put up with her. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4 and 3. For the time will come.
Matter of time.
When they will what? Not endure sound doctrine. Y'all listen to that. Sound doctrine is the truth. Sound doctrine is the gospel. Sound doctrine had already been proven to be accurate. But the time will come when they will not continue in sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why it's important that I be transparent, that I let you understand something. Because I'm preaching to you don't mean I made it in. Because these brothers that stand up here in the pulpit and God has trusted them with his word don't mean they have made it in.
No, sir.
All of us need to be persuaded and committed. How do you be persuaded? Look what the Lord has already done. Look what he did that couldn't nobody else do. Somebody said one touch from Jesus can change your entire life. If you love the Lord, you ought to be persuaded that there is nothing that can come up in the future that can cause me to walk away from God. Do I have any witnesses here? Do I have anybody that can say, I don't care what happened. I don't care death, life, principalities, things present or things to come. I will let nothing separate me from the love of God. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons. The reason why I won't walk away from God. In him I live, and in him I have my being. I'm going to turn my back on the air that I breathe. I'm going to turn my back on the one that died for me. I'm going to turn my back on the one that saved me, that healed me, that keeps me in my right mind. I'm going to turn my back on all the good things that the Lord has done. Let me tell you, before I take it back, I'm going to add more to God been good to me, and God been so good, I'm going to praise him for the rest of my life. God been so good, if I walk in the church one day and the church is empty, I still got to praise. I got to praise on the inside, and I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody say yes. I heard the Bible say, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I'm not an old man and still look decent, pretty good, but I want you to know something. I came up in the era when the old folks say, if I get to the point that I can't say a word, I just wave my head. Can I get anybody to help me today? Come on, say, if I get to the point that I can't say a word, I just wave my head. You know why? God been so good. God been good to me. He been better than me than I've been to myself. And I want to give him glory. I'm going to give him praise.